With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Monday, March 20th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians went 2-2 over the weekend in exhibition games, split squad games, won and lost on Saturday after taking a game Friday, or losing a game Friday and then winning Sunday night. The results of these games really don't matter, but the pitching performances are what we're looking at and most concerned about, and not necessarily concerned when guys like Zach Plesac and Shane Bieber go out there and turn in the performances that they did. What do we take away from the weekend as far as how the Guardians pitching staff performed in their Cactus League games?
Yeah, you know, Friday, Savali goes three, he in the 7-1 loss to the Reds, he gives up three runs in 3 2/3 innings. He was kind of in and out. It wasn't a disaster, but it wasn't great either. Chris Antonetti talked to reporters yesterday, said, they like his stuff. They think his stuff is back and that his delivery is back. So, it sounds like they're pretty happy with where Savali is right now. Quantrill, in one of the split squads against Arizona got knocked around again. 6 hits, 4 runs, 3 in 3 innings, gave up 2 home runs, and that's coming off, his start in the WBC where pretty much the same kind of line. So I guess there's probably some concern, a little bit of concern there, but they just haven't seen him a lot because, he left for the WBC. Fortunately, Canada gets knocked out early and he's back in there, so he can make at least one or two more starts before the season opens.
Quantrill, it just looked like he's not fooling anybody, or maybe not necessarily not fooling anybody, but his stuff isn't as effective as it might have, necessarily been at one time last year. When you rely on your sinker movement as much as he does, is it just a matter of the sinker not sinking?
Yeah, the pitching in Arizona does, the ball doesn't move as much. And, pitchers always say that maybe he's not getting the kind of action that he wants on it. And maybe, who knows, he's just working on things. You never know. And, Antonetti was saying, all these guys are still, working on different parts of their game. And he said in their, next to last start, in their upcoming starts, hopefully that they put the pieces together and, start getting more on point.
Well, it looked like Zach Plesac and Shane Bieber have started to put their games together a little bit as well, as they both made their fourth starts, their fourth outings this past weekend. And both of them, went deep into games.
Yeah, Plesac, had his best start of the spring, 6 1/3, 1 run, 4 Ks against Seattle. He always seems, he has a history of pitching well against them, and he did again. Saturday night. And then Bieber comes back Sunday against a split squad team from the Rockies and just, you know, really dominated. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 6 Ks. He's had a great spring, Joe. I think, you know, what, 16 and two-third innings. He's got like 19 strikeouts. I think he's given up, what, maybe 2-3 earned runs. Just he's ready. So he's got one more start. I think that'll come probably Friday. And then he's ready for the season opener on March 30th.
Yeah, if there was one pitcher on the Guardians roster who's sort of built for pitching in the World Baseball Classic, it's Shane Bieber. He always seems to be ready on time and ahead of schedule. You know, every year he just seems to be, on fire at this point. And boy, Team USA could use a reliable arm like him, as ready and developed and set to go. As they head into the championship game, we'll get to Team USA, later. But boy, wouldn't it be nice for Team USA to have Shane Bieber in the stable?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure they called about him too.
And Tony, I'm sure Chris Antonetti, hung up the phone immediately.
And that's the way it worked out too. I talked to Tony Regans, the Team USA general manager, at the winter meetings, and he said Cleveland would not release any of their pitchers. Now Quantrill obviously went to Team Canada, but I don't think they were getting Bieber.
No, that's a pretty big ask if you're Team USA. We did have a bit of injury news over the weekend. Nick Mikulacik, relief pitcher, was throwing in one of the games, I believe, on Saturday, and left the game in between after getting an out in one of the innings. He threw a warm-up pitch and then immediately walked off the field. The Angels announcers said it just looked like he knew immediately something was wrong. They're waiting on an MRI from Mikulacik to see just how badly he's hurt.
Yeah, Chris Antonetti said yesterday they'll know more in the next 24 to 48 hours, and that, you know, he is getting an MRI on there, and that'll at least give them a point to start working at. And it's too bad, Joe. He was having a good spring, and the way this bullpen is shaking out right now, he had a chance to maybe open the season as one of those, one of those two open spots.
Yeah, they liked him because he had a little bit of late game experience down in Columbus. He had saved a bunch of games for the Clippers last year, and he's sort of a guy who could fill multiple roles in a bullpen if you give him a chance to. Depending on how severely how long he might be out, that could play a factor. And obviously there's two spots right now open in the bullpen, and we're thinking at least one of them could be earmarked for the big lefty Tim Herron. The other spot we're sort of up in the air with what they are going to do there. But they did make some roster moves over the weekend. Kind of give you some idea of where they're going with this. They sent down Connor Pilkington, and Pilkington was a guy who started a bunch of games for Cleveland last year in doubleheader situations. So Connor Pilkington, Cade Smith, Dustin Knight, Caleb Berrigar, Philip Deal, and the catcher Brian Lavastida all get sent down to minor league camp over the weekend. And so the race right now is going to be for two spots in the bullpen, the backup catcher, and we're looking at either an extra utility man or an outfield spot. And we can get into what some of those are. Let's start with the bullpen situation. As you and I were talking beforehand, candidates could be a guy like Hunter Gaddis, who's going to start today, Xavion Curry, who's still around, Tuki Toussaint, who's the veteran there, or a guy like a Luis Oviedo, who might sneak in.
Yeah, Joe, they, you know, Antonetti was talking yesterday about how you put the bullpen and the roster together. And he said an interesting thing, or just something that struck me. He said that, that, you know, you don't necessarily just build a pitching staff with the 10 or 12 or, you know, 12 guys that are pitching the best at the end of camp. It, you know, it's important. You want to, you know, so depth is so important. So if you have guys that you think are you know, depth options in the rotation, you know, a guy like Pilkington, a guy like Gattis, if you put them in the bullpen for a month, you know, and then you turn around and try to stretch them out to be a starter again, you know, you really, you know, you make it hard on the pitcher. You really, you know, open him up to injury. So I think maybe that was one of the reasons they sent Pilkington down. You know, he didn't have the greatest camp either. But I think they want to keep him, you know, as an option to for the rotation, because, you know, we saw last year that, you usually use about 10 starters, 10, 11, 12 starters. So in a season, so you need those guys. And, you know, and it's going to be interesting. Hunter Gattis has had a really good spring. But do they want to keep him in? Is he a bullpen guy now, or do you want to keep him stretched out? Is that one of the reasons he's starting against Texas today? So, you know, like you said, Heron, I guess, you know, still, you know, came in and got a big out Sunday. So, you know, maybe he's a true reliever. But what about that open spot, Joe? How do you think they fill it?
Yeah, I think Heron gets one of those spots because Sam Hentges is still sidelined with the injury. I think he opens the season on the injured list, along with Cody Morris, who we haven't seen yet. Again, Tuki Toussaint hasn't had the greatest spring, but maybe that's like Antonetti was saying, you keep a guy like that who's a veteran and has bounced back and forth, and, you know, has done multiple things, has started and relieved. And you sort of, if he works out, he works out. But if he doesn't, you're not going to, you know, lose sleep over cutting him once Hentges is ready to come back and take his roster spot. I don't know what they do in that situation, but I think Heron and maybe... maybe, like I said, maybe Toussaint, as they send Curry and Gattis down to Columbus to be ready for that first call to come back if they need an arm.
Yeah, another guy, like you said, Oviedo, kind of a dark horse guy. Maybe Michael Kelly is a dark horse guy, too. He's given up one run in about six appearances this spring. You know, a guy that, you know, pitched like 10, 12 years in the minors and finally got to the big leagues last year with the Phillies for a heartbeat. And, you know, maybe this guy is a guy that, you know, fills that one spot or one of those two open spots in the pen until Hentges comes back or something, you know, and give him a chance.
Yeah. The other, area that we're looking at and Antonetti mentioned in his comments, was the utility spot. Right now it looks like it's down to between, and it has really been between, Gabriel Arias and Tyler Freeman pretty much all spring. And, you know, if it put a gun to my head right now, and if I had to choose, I'd say Arias has that spot pretty much locked up. Does that mean Tyler Freeman begins the season at AAA?
Yeah, you know, those both guys have, you know, kind of similar skill sets. You know, they're both, you know, right-handed hitters. They both, you know, can play all over the infield. Arias has a little more experience in the outfield, but Freeman has played out there this spring. And Antonetti was saying, you know, when you build a bench and you have guys with similar skill sets, it's, you know, it's really hard to find them enough playing time. Now, if you just had one or the other, you know, Freeman or Arias, you know, he thought you could find enough at bats to keep them occupied. And then maybe you can, you know, round out the bench with the guys that complement their skills instead of, you know, going head to head with their skill set. So that made it sound like only one of those guys is going to make the club to me, Joe.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then maybe you have couple of options in a guy like a David Fry, who can play two corner positions on the infield and catch, or a guy like a Richie Palacios, who is a versatile outfielder, can also play infield, but is a guy who they like in pinch hitting situations, and a kid who last year showed that he not only, you know, can sit on the bench for long stretches, but, you know, while he's on the bench, he's learning and taking in and sort of active in the game. And Tito likes that about him very much, is that, you know, he's, you know, even though he's not starting in a game, he's very much active and a part of what's going on. And so when, you know, he gets called upon to come in and hit in a situation, he's, you know, not totally out of the game.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, and a big thing is he's on the roster. You know, if you went with a guy like Roman Quinn, who's had a, you know, an interesting spring, showed some power early. He, you know, he's run the bases well. He's stolen bases. He's played a good center field, but he's a non-roster guy. So you'd have to make a move to, you know, on the 40 man. You'd have to drop somebody off the 40 man to add him if he makes your club.
Yeah, it's another concern. You don't want to make messy. You want to make it nice and easy. If a guy is already on the 40 man and you don't have to make a move to get him on your roster, then you tend to go with the easier path. Antonetti did have some comments about contract extensions. He was asked about that, and sort of an interesting little cat and mouse play. He said he was optimistic. Do you think he's really optimistic about getting something done here with you know, guys like Kwan or Jimenez or anybody like that?
Well, I think he's got to be optimistic, Joe, but I think he's also got to be realistic. And you know, as it always is in these cases, you know, it takes two to tango. You know, they might want to extend a guy like a Jimenez or you know, obviously Bieber. They've been after him for a number of years, or Kwan. You know, those are like, you know, perfect guys to try to extend right now. And but the player has to be, and his agent have to be willing to do that too. And you know, that's the hard part.
Yeah, Tristan McKenzie, another guy that falls into that category as well. So we'll see if they're able to get anything done. But let's just for a moment, let's just share in Chris Antonetti's joyful optimism as he you know, is out there and getting ready for the season to start. The other thing that Chris Antonetti mentioned talked about was the Bally Sports and the you know, Diamond Sports Group and the whole situation with the bankruptcy, and how will that affect you know, the payroll situation? How will that affect you know, what's going to be broadcast and what fans will be able to see? Any movement there, any more further clarity on how fans are going to be able to watch games this year?
Yeah, Joe, I think right now, you know, it's business as usual. You know, when they declared bankruptcy, they said they're going to continue to, you know, honor their contracts. You know, the question is, if they, you know, if they back out of a contract with certain teams, then what happens? You know, we've been assured, or the Cleveland, the Guardians have been assured MLB will step in then. And the broadcasts will go on as planned, but you know, we've got to see that work. We've got to see that in you know, black and white right before that happens. You know, Antonetti did say that, you know, the bankruptcy of you know, a Diamond Sports Group would not affect their ability to extend players, and he didn't. And as for the long range, you know, implications, you know, he really didn't, you know, come out and say yes or no. It said it was kind of just a fluid situation.
Yeah. And that's what we expected to hear. And, you know, really they're not under any sort of pressure right yet to sort of make any announcements on that until we know, you know, what the latest on Bally side is in terms of how it's going to affect things. So, we'll keep our ears open and keep watching, but right now it's like you said, it's a fluid situation, and as long as they're making assurances that that Major League Baseball is going to step in if there's an issue, then, you know, we have to take them at their word for that. The Guardians today traveling to Surprise Stadium to take on the Rangers. Hunter Gaddis, as we mentioned, on the mound. 2.89 ERA, 11 strikeouts for him in his previous outings this spring. Dane Dunning, a right-hander for Texas, will counter for the Rangers. 15 strikeouts for Dunning and a 4.05 ERA, 1-1 record. Stephen Kwan, Amed Rosario, Jose Ramirez, Josh Naylor, Oscar Gonzalez, Will Brennan in center field, Gabriel Arias at short, and Mike Zunino catching with Tyler Freeman at second base. That's the lineup for the Guardians. Amed Rosario checking in at designated hitter there. So you've got Ramirez hitting 223. You've got Kwan hitting, or I'm sorry, at 323. You've got Kwan hitting at 344. Naylor checking in at 286 has had a decent spring, I guess. The lineup, you know, has hit at times and has hit in places, but we haven't really seen that offense sort of click like it was down the stretch last year. You know, is this the week where you sort of want to see the lineup have some connectivity and some continuity and maybe just, you know, that idea of, you know, sort of hitting together as a group instead of just being out there individually working on things in spring training?
Yeah, usually, you know, teams or managers like to kind of give their regulars as much playing time as they can in the, you know, last 5, 6, 7 days before the season opener. And, you know, to let those guys, you know, get, you know, really gets, you know, 3, 4, 5 at bats a game and just get ready. So, you know, there's not like there's a lot of, you know, open competition right now. We've talked about it, you know, the bullpen, the backup catcher and the utility infielder. So, you know, it's not like you're really, you know, you're conducting tryouts right now. You want to get your team ready and your hitters ready. So, you know, hopefully we'll see a little more consistency out of the offense.
Yeah, you want to get your reporters ready too. Are you in game shape, Poinsy? We got you're heading back out there for the stretch run. You'll be on the road tomorrow, and you know, bringing us all the action from Arizona as they close out camp. Get the reporters ready. It's go time now. I think we're getting close. All right, we'll look forward to. I think tomorrow we're gonna have a special guest on. It's travel day for Paul, so we're going to be joined by Dan Hayes from The Athletic. He's a Minnesota Twins beat writer. We're going to talk a little bit of Twins and what they did in the offseason and what their outlook is. And we'll be back with Hoinsie from Goodyear on Wednesday. Look forward to it then.
All right, Joe.